You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Bear and Balanced. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the boss over at Windy City Gridiron, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, I want to spin a football, but I don't want to get 15 yards at the beginning of this. How are you doing today? The Bears are 1-1.
The Bears are 1-1. That's all that matters. I mean, it wasn't the prettiest of games, but at the end of the day, all that matters is that W.
Absolutely. I want to start off by talking about this taunting thing. I don't want to like waste time talking about how your breakfast was or anything, because I am really irritated. I knew I would be with this emphasis in the preseason. And I watched football all day yesterday, and I saw a whole bunch of like stupid really penalties. Random stuff that like just happens normal football all the time. And 15 yards. I mean, the penalty is extreme. 15 yards is a huge penalty. And what Gibson clapped over one of the Bengals receivers and it got 15 yards. I saw a guy spin a football in the general direction of the defense and got 15 yards after a big first down play. What is happening? Who's this genteel class that is offended by basic football back and forth? I mean, this is a game that's played on sod and turf, and it is, you know, it is watered by sweat and tears and fertilized by blood, right? This is a game that is built on violence and is built on adrenaline and emotion. And we are now trying to legislate emotion out of this football game. Like, what is happening?
You know, I understand some of the safety aspects of the rules. Like, I understand you want to make the game safer. I understand you have some things you're trying to do to make the game a better product for the fans. But like you said, taking away the emotion, it makes no sense to me. The NFLPA today had a tweet. You know, they are not they are not happy with this rule. SB Nation had a big article about this rule. I mean, they were showing all the silly penalties. I think, you know, in the Bears game, I think Andy Dalton asked for one and he got his flag because he's, hey, the same thing happened earlier. Let's go. And he got his flag. So it just seems like it's like the NFL has enough stuff to worry about. Like, you know, they still don't know what a catch is. You know, let's not worry about what a taunt is. I mean, I think from a fan perspective, I think we know. If you're in someone's face and you're really antagonizing him and being a complete prick about it, that's a taunt. A clap, a cheer, a ball spin. Come on. It just makes no sense to me. Like I'm with you 100%. It's just they have to get that they have to scale that back a little bit and let these guys play and have some fun.
Yeah, they got to scale it back like 95%. Yeah. You want to take one thing out. You know, it's like one of those things where like we don't like one person's attitude in the office. And so instead of just addressing that one person in the office that's like wearing open-toed sandals or something, we just make a department-wide policy that impacts everybody, even though for the most part, everybody's been playing by the rules. And now we just have a worse work environment. Like this.
What started this whole thing? Like, I'm not even sure. Was there like one person or like, oh, we have to stop because of this is just out of hand.
I mean, is Virginia McCaskey like just like, you know, clutching her pearls because she's so upset at people overreacting or what people can say? I don't understand it at all. This is not driven by fans. This isn't driven by players, certainly, right? And there's no safety impact to this. The taunting thing is ridiculous. And I want to kind of take it further. Some sloppy play in the Bears game, but again, watch a day full of football. That yellow flag came out a lot and way too much. We got way too much ticky-tack stuff going on. No one watches football games for the striped jerseys. Like, no one has a striped jersey that they wear and say, go refs, right? We need to bring them back into the background, and we need to see less of them. They don't need to be taking center stage throwing the flag every time. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu got illegal contact called on him twice last night. Yeah. I think they impacted the game. I think the Ravens got back in that game because of those penalties. And yes, there was a lot of sloppiness with the Bears, but there was a lot of stuff that's like, what are we calling here? Like, yeah. I don't get it.
It's funny because as Bears fans, you know, most Bears fans always think the refs are out to get them. I mean, that's just sure. the nature of it. But then, like you said, you watch other games and you're like, it's happening all around the league. And it's like, you know, at some point the league has to step in and they have to address this because, like you said, you know, no one's watching for yellow flags. No one wants to see that. There's obvious stuff that happens. Yes, let's call it. But some of the stuff, like that Cole Kmet pass interference, what the hell was that?
Non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just way too many penalties like that do not reflect reality. And boy, you know, Joe Burrow, was he up for an Oscar nomination after colliding with Robert Quinn on the sidelines and
my flopping? Exact thought, yeah.
I mean, if this professional quarterback thing doesn't work out for him, let's see what his leg looks like, and he can go to the Premier League and he can flop around on a soccer pitch, because that was some genius level acting.
You know, it was acting. I agree with you there. But Quinn should have known better. He's smart enough. He's a veteran. You know, at least like reach out and look like you're trying to avoid the contact or trying to stop the quarterback from falling. I think if he does that, there's no flag at all. But he just kind of did his thing and just kind of bumped him, and it was no big deal to him. He has to make a little bit of an effort there to look like he's trying to avoid contact.
He did look like he kind of like twiddled his thumbs and whistled as he walked away under the sidelines after it happened. I thought that was pretty funny. But
yeah.
All right. Well, we have these categories that we've come up with in this show, and so let's get into those. Of course, we're always going to start off with our trench tribute, and I know who your trench tribute is. So this is not a surprise to me because you spoiled it.
Leaked in a chat. I did spoil it to you
in a chat. So I forgot did get about to that. See yeah. that. But let's let you start off with your trench tribute of the week.
All right, I'm going to go with Jason Peters, 39 years old. This guy, I was not expecting this level of play from him, especially after a bunch of Philadelphia Eagle fans told me he was cooked. He is not cooked. He looks like the best Bears lineman, and that's pretty much what he's been since he's been here. So I actually had a chance to go back and grade him last night. And I had enough for 60 plays. I'm not sure what the official snap count was, but, you know, with grading, you know, sometimes I'm grading plays that don't count because it happened. So I'm going to grade it. And the way I always grade things is just a simple plus minus. You do your job, you get a plus. You don't, you get a minus. And that's not to say all the pluses are like, there's no style points. You know, it's just basically, you know, there are some plays where, yes, he did his job. It wasn't very exciting. It had no impact on the play at all, but he just kind of got in the way of his guy because the play was on the right side. So he didn't have to do too much. But I graded him. I had plus 55, minus 5 for the guys that like the math. That's 91.7%. Jason Peters, to me, he's helping solidify this line. Plus, at some point in the game, it looked like he broke a finger or something with his finger because he had a problem with his right hand. You know, but he's a veteran. You know, he knows, you know, when the play's not near him, he can coast a little bit. He's just, you know, that guy. He's been that dude. And plus, on Twitter, there was a play where he just was like, just pancaked the dude. And so if you can go back to my account, you find that nice play. He just brings a little bit of that nasty too, which I like. Jason Peters, my lineman of the game, my trench tribute guy.
Yeah, that play that you're talking about, he didn't have anybody coming on the rush, and so he was looking for work, as they say in the offensive line world. And so he engaged with the defender that was next to him, who was Cody Whitehair was blocking, and just knocked him over. Beautiful. Yeah. I love linemen looking for work. And I think you make a good point about the plus minus system. You know, it's a simple way to go, but I think a lot of people watch, you know, Quentin Nelson highlights, you know, these offensive line highlights, which are not much out there, but Quentin Nelson has these plays where he's like pancaking guys and he's just aggressive and everybody likes that. And they think like, well, that's offensive line play. That's doing it well. And it's like, okay, that's pretty rare. I mean, he's a rare level player, but the consistency and doing your job, that's actually more consistent with what the expectations are for NFL level offensive line play. Not get your guy on his back 25 times a game. That's just not happening. That's great to see that Peters looks good. Like, let's hope he's got enough in the tank to stay healthy and to be able to keep that consistency up, because that's asking a lot out of a guy that's almost 40 years old. So mine, I knew that you were going to go that way. I actually have in my notes, in a parenthesis, it says, assuming Lester goes Peters. And this was before the tweet. I had a feeling that you were going this direction. So I wanted to flip on the other side of the ball. Bears defense played very well. And I'm going to go with a guy that maybe people aren't thinking about, but Angelo Blackson. And I wanted to talk about Blackson because when we were at camp, I kept going, who is that guy? And I kept looking up on the sheet. I'm like, okay, he was kind of sticking out to me as a guy that was more than just a camp body. And I was like, okay, I got to look up Blackson and see what his history is. And so he's bounced around the league a little bit, but I thought, yeah, he might make this rotation. And as a big guy who's been in the league for a while, he got an interception. That's pretty cool. That's a defensive lineman's dream. He pulled down an interception. He had three tackles total, I think. A nice highlight for him in year seven. And I just think those defensive rotation pieces where you have to, you know, the value of a guy like that is that he can come in, maybe give you a little something, but he also keeps a guy like Akeem Hicks fresher, right? And so I thought he played a good game and had a really big highlight. And it's nice to see guys like that get some snaps and be consistent.
I think with Blackson, one thing he brings to the team is he can play some nose for you too. So like with no Goldman for the first 2 weeks, they've had some Blackson, some Hicks, some Tonga, all getting some mix of the nose there. And I think that's good because he gives you that, you know, ability to play all up and down the line. And that's a good for a key reserve right there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So that's our trench tribute for the week. How about we go to the Twitter, which is, you know, a landscape that has to be treaded lightly, but we've each picked out a tweet that we wanted to highlight. Sweet tweets, we're calling it. So who's your sweet tweet this week?
So when the game ended, I had a tweet out there. I said, Duke Shelley at Nickelback has been very underwhelming. And then someone responded to me. It's at VMPZ Fever. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but at VMPZ Fever said, ready to sign DJ Hayden or give Thomas Graham a chance. And I'm not sure about Thomas Graham. I'm not sure he's quite ready to play at this level, but I think the Bears need to do something because Marky Christian week one did nothing really. Week two, Duke Shelley, he got burned all over the place. So if the Bears are going to do what they've been doing, it may be a guy like Artie Burns week three, because that's how kind of what they're doing here. So I would not mind seeing a guy like Burns get a chance at nickel, because through two weeks, they've got nothing there going on. And then I looked at some other free agents that are out there. You know, most of them are outside guys. So if you are going to make a move at outside, then you may have to kick a guy like Kim DeVilder inside. But other free agents, you know, it's as you would expect, it's the bottom of the barrel. Quentin Dunbar, Gary and Connolly. Devontae Busby, who was a former Bear practice squatter. The Raiders just cut Nevin Lawson on Monday. And then, you know, Richard Sherman's out there, but, you know, what does he have left in the tank? A couple former Bears, Prince Amukamara and Buster Screen. Do those guys do anything for you? You know, there's not a lot out there. So the Bears got to figure out this nickel spot because it's rough right now.
Yeah, I mean, I love Richard Sherman. I don't know how much he has left. But
One of my faves.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's an all-time favorite of mine, so that would be great. My sweet tweet is by Allison, and she goes by ABQ Bears Girl 89.
Nice.
And it's very simple. I like these simple tweets, but she has all pro Quan. And, you know, saying, here's Roquan Smith, and he's going to be an all pro. I don't know if she coined this. I feel like maybe I saw this last year, but I'm giving her credit for it on the show and is a way for us to launch into a Roquan conversation.
Nice.
I think he was this close to becoming a household name last year. I think that if he would have snapped his head around a split second earlier at that Saints game in the regular season and grabbed that ball from Drew Brees, housed it, and ended that game, I think that Roquan would have gotten all pro votes. I know that's silly. It's one play, but it would have been in prime time. It would have been a huge swing. And when you have the eyeballs on you, first, particularly on at a position on defense or anybody that you just can't look at just stats all the time. I think that really helps. And I think that he was this close to being able to do that. Huge play in this one, obviously with the pick six, and really, you know, broke a game open, and then had a sack. You know, this is another thing that he can do. So not only can he, he had a tackle on Tyler Boyd, who was just cooking the nickel corner all day, and Boyd caught it, and then instantly Roquan tackled him, right? So he had Tyler Boyd in coverage and no one else could cover him. And so here's a guy that is, boy, here's a guy. There's a Collinsworth moment for me. But, you know, here's a guy that gets a sack, that gets a pick six, and is in coverage on the slot receiver that no one else can cover. That's a heck of a game. This guy is really elevated his game over consistently since he's been here. And I think that he's going to be a household name here soon.
You know, it's funny you talk about the splash plays. And honestly, as a defender, that's what you need. You know, if you want the votes for all pro or pro bowl, you have to have something stand out. You have to be, you know, really real sexy plays. That, you know, that's what voters want to see. And a guy like Roquan, who plays, you know, a middle linebacker, essentially, you know, he's not going to get a lot of those. So when he has a chance, takes advantage, which he did on this last game here, you know, take it to the house. And I think, like you said, you know, he is on the verge of that Pro Bowl, all pro nod.
Yeah. I want to just circle back to your thing, right? I remember what I was going to say, and the nickel corner issues. When I looked at bets to make in this game, I made a bunch of player prop bets, and I thought that the Bears were potentially going to have good game flow here and be able to give Montgomery a lot of carries. And so I bet the over on Montgomery carries, and I won that one. But I hammered Tyler Boyd prop bets because I just didn't believe in what the Bears were doing at nickel corner. So I went over on catches, over on yards, and over on longest catch for Boyd, and I hit all of them. And that's not saying I love Tyler Boyd. Who's Tyler Boyd? Who cares, right? Yeah. It's that I'm worried about that nickel corner spot, and I figured I'd throw some bets in at it and say, I don't think the Bears have that figured out yet. So until they do, this is going to be something that all teams are going to see. It's already out there on tape, and they're going to say, all right, slot receiver, get ready for a big week because the Bears can't cover you. And that's what's going to continue to happen until they get something figured out. So stat of the week. Next category, caught up in a numbers game.
Caught up in a numbers game. For me, my number is 43.3.
Okay.
And this comes courtesy of our guy, Bill Zimmerman. He is at Zimmerman SXM. And it comes down to the passer rating of Justin Fields.
Okay.
And I know we talk about passer rating. It's not a be-all, end-all stat, but it's a stat. Everyone knows what it is. You know, did you know that if Allen Robinson does not drop that touchdown that Justin Fields, you know, put right on the money to him, his pass rating goes from 27.7, jumps up to 71.0, which is a 43.3-point swing. Just goes to show you those, like, you know, small plays in a game. And, you know, if one thing happens, the narrative is completely flipped for a guy. And I know we're talking about a bunch of ifs, but this is just an instance where, you know, something like that really hinges on a stat like that, on a number like that. And it just shows what could happen if that play does come through.
Yeah, I think the issue with passer rating is that that's you don't generally have enough volume in one game to average things out. And so if you look at passer rating game to game, it's kind of a dangerous thing to do. And so just from a statistical standpoint, you want to look at passer rating on like a, not to be too nerdy, but like on a like a rolling average, or like over a year, or like say even like over four games, six games, something like that, right? And if you can do that, then you can maybe see trends, or you can see where a guy's starting to figure things out, or having a good stretch, or struggling, or whatever. But if you go game to game, there's just so many things like that, like Robinson dropping a ball, and that's, you know, 40 points of because he just didn't have that many throws either,
yeah,
right? I mean, he only played part of the game. A Dalton started the game, so he didn't have all the throws in this game either. And so that's a lot of it too, is one thing can swing it pretty hard. So I
I want to get your thoughts on ESPN's QBR, you know, it's a different analytic. It takes into account like stuff in game situations. I think it takes into account some running stuff. So what's your take on that compared to the traditional passer rating?
Well, I mean, traditional passer rating. So do you know what a perfect game for passer rating is?
It's, I mean, like, you might. 158.3.
Yeah.
Am I close?
Exactly. Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's exactly right. So
it's so stupid. That's a dumb number.
Range starts at one, or tops out at 158.3. And the thing is that if you go through the numbers, you know, the formula, you can get passer ratings above that number, but they just cap it. Right. So it doesn't make any sense to me, like what this number is all about. And the QBR is just it's a different formula. It has its own issues with it. There's some things that are a little better, some things that are, you know, but to me, it's more about understanding that you probably don't have enough data in one game, particularly one game where you only played part of it to make any kind of conclusion. And then you know that things understand any stat is not, there's no perfect stat. That's why they keep coming up with new ones, because no one's nailed it yet for a perfect stat, right? And so you have to know that any stat requires context. And in watching the game, watching the film, and looking at stats, that can tell you a better, more complete picture. But just relying on stats, that, I mean, you get burned if you're out there just spouting stats and not watching the game, because you have no context, right? And so I don't know that one is necessarily better than the other, but I would say both are wrong and can be misused in a lot of ways. But they can be valuable if you think about them in the right context.
Like for me, like I always share them. I just think it's because it's something that all the fans know what it is. So if you see a guy with a pass rating of 100, you know, that's a pretty good game. You know, just generally speaking, but like you said, there's no context, there's no film work, you know, there's nothing else to go along with what happened in the situation. You know, was it all yak? You know, was the QB doing basically nothing, and was the backs and receivers doing all the work? So there's no context, but again, it's one of those weird numbers where everyone knows what it is. So that's, for me, that's the only reason I share it. But I always put under it, hey, this is not the be all end all stat. It's just kind of there to kind of show how they are in relation to other quarterbacks in the league.
Well, for my stat of the week, it is the number 59, and that is 59 yards. That is the 2-game total for Allen Robinson so far. Oh. That is the worst 2-game stretch for Robinson in a Bears uniform. 35 yards in the opener, 24 yards on Sunday. Obviously, he had that drop in the end zone. Not great. Robinson has recorded 9 total games, including these two, under 40 yards since getting to Chicago, but never in back-to-back weeks like this. And so this is the worst 2 games in his career, and he really needs to get back on track. I wanted to call him out somewhere in here because this is a bad stretch for him. He just has not done particularly well to start the year. This is a year that he is on the franchise tag. He has no contract for 2022. So every game that he plays is under the microscope for Chicago and or for another team that wants to sign him. Now, I think he's a great player. That's why I want to call him out, because I think he's wide receiver one. I think he's a top 10, top 12 guy in the league. But I'm not going to be able to say that anymore if he posts more numbers like this. I mean, this has to be the last time that he puts up less than 40 yards.
Yeah. You know, he may be called out again after the commercial break. Just a thought there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
a little teaser.
I'm going a different way with that, but yes, I thought about that as well. But I wanted to kind of see if there were blips like this in his past. And he's had games where he was shut down or shut out, you know, to some extent. Not shut out. You know, he's had yardage in every game he's played, but you know, he's had 9 games that I would consider bad yardage games. You know, below 40 yards is pretty bad. And he's usually bounced back from that pretty good. So I thought that he was going to come back out here. He was going to have more success. Now you got a change in quarterback. It's not like he's had a lot of practice time with Justin Fields throwing him the football. Maybe that gets better. Hopefully that gets better. Can't get much worse than what happened here.
So that pass could have shocked them so much. It was so good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that he's ever had one that's right there, you know,
right in the bread basket. Perfect. What the hell he said. Oh my God.
All right. Well, let's break it here. Let's stop for a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back with the segment that is sweeping Bears Nation, the 3 Bears. We'll be right back.
I want to tell you guys about a fun game called Thrive Fantasy, which combines the fun of daily fantasy sports and the rush of making prop bets. And what it is, it's a daily fantasy sports and esports app for player props, so you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that will have the biggest impact in every game. Here's how it works. You'll choose 10 out of the 20 available player props to build your lineup, and each prop is assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under based on how likely it is to hit. Thrive has over 140 grand guaranteed prizes for NFL's Week 1 and has already awarded over $4 million. And Thrive has a featured 100 grand guaranteed contest that just costs $20 to enter, and first place will take home $20,000. Just use our promo code WINDYCITY when you sign up today, and you're going to get 100% instant first deposit match up to $100. Free money is always good. Just download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Google Play Store, or go into their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. And remember, sign up with our promo code WINDYCITY. Good luck, and prop up today.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, Lester, we're back. So let's talk about the three bears. So again, everybody knows the concept, you know, too hot, too cold, just right for the bowls of porridge. And we are going to identify a bear associated with each of those temperatures. So let's start off with the bear that had the hot bowl of porridge. Who are you singling out for having a great game or a much better game than expectation?
For me, I'm going to go hot. And this guy had a hot game. He's had a hot start to his season, and it's Jalen Johnson. He had his first ever pick. He had four passes defended, two tackles. He is right now through 2 weeks being talked about as one of the better corners in the entire league. And I think as Bears fans, you know, we all had hoped he would take that next step. He looked good last year early. He kind of tapered off. He had the injury, of course. So if he keeps this up, you know, he's going to make fans maybe not forget Kyle Fuller, but understand a little bit of, hey, this guy who is the true CB1 now, and he is going to, you know, get the job done. The issue in the secondary now is obviously what's, you know, going on the other side and at nickel. But for now, my hot bear this week is Jalen Johnson.
So obviously Ryan Pace at some point made the decision and said, I think we have to make a move. It's hard to get under the cap here. And so we're going to cut Kyle Fuller. We've panned that move for here to ever. Like, you need corners in this league. Yeah. I still don't think it was a good idea.
Terrible idea.
They convinced themselves that they could get away with it because they believed in the skills of Jalen Johnson. That's what I'm assuming happened. And so far, Johnson's held up his end of the bargain. Four pass breakups yesterday. I mean, that's great. Joe Burrow looks like a really good quarterback, notwithstanding the three straight interceptions that he threw against the Bears. Yeah. I mean, one of the bets I won was I bet over 0.5 interceptions on Joe Burrow because it was plus 165. I mean, it was really good odds because he just doesn't throw picks, and the Bears got three of them. And so, you know, that was a great play by Johnson. He broke on the ball. He made the play on the ball, something he didn't do last year. He had a lot of pass breakups last year, but he couldn't get his hands on one and keep it. And he did it this time. And so if he's going to have more of that, that's great for the Bears defense. It's also, he's going to get fewer targets thrown at him, right? Yeah. Like, I think you're going to see I'm curious if Baker Mayfield goes away from him next week, because
I would never throw towards him. I would always target the nickel guy. Yeah.
Tom Brady would never throw it over there. He just like would avoid it. And so it was very interesting that Burrow just kept going back to him. But yeah, Johnson's my guy too. I thought I'd talk about Roquan up front. That was a guy I think that deserves he had the big splash play.
Yeah.
But I think we absolutely needed to talk about Jalen Johnson here because he has played incredibly well. You have to be very happy with where he's at as a Bears fan. So Let's flip it on the other side. What about the guy that you want to call out a little bit for maybe not playing up to expectations?
You know, I alluded to him earlier. It's going to be Allen Robinson. He only had four targets, though, and he had the two catches, 24 yards and a touchdown. But here's the thing with Allen Robinson. You know, part of it, I think maybe most of it could be on the play calling. It could be on the quarterback just not going his way. You know, I'm not sure if the defenses, I haven't had a chance to watch the all 22 from this last week. You know, maybe they're trying to take him out of the game, and that's why the Bears are going to guys like Mooney and Goodwin. But for me, Allen Robinson, just like you said, he has a two-game cold stretch now. He's not where as Bears fans, we expect him to be. So I want to see him get a little more involved in the offense. And I think that, again, partly him, partly the scheme, partly Matt Nagy, you know, partly the play calls, partly the quarterback. But I think a guy like Robinson, you got to figure out a way to get him hot, you know, get him going, get him, you know, get, you know, these curls all the time aren't going to work. You know, you got to get him on the move a little bit. You know, he wants to catch the ball deep. You know, yes, he had the drop. It was, you know, again, he may have been shocked by that, but a guy like Robinson, you know, you got to get him going. But for me, he's the cool Bear this week.
Yeah. I mean, you need to get him 10 targets a game. Four targets a game ain't cutting it.
He had 11 last week.
Right. That's fine. Yeah. But he didn't do much with them because they took away everything deep and they threw, I mean, Dalton's average depth of target, which is a stat that is useful in trying to provide context. His average depth of target was incredibly low. Yeah. And I think Dalton was like 32nd, you know, in terms of NFL starters for average depth of target. It was terrible. And so, yeah, he didn't have much opportunity to do much. The Rams said, sure, catch a 5-yard pass. We don't care. Whatever, right? And so you need to get him a little bit more deeper routes, intermediate routes. And that's what Fields is going to do. Fields already showed that he's going to push the ball down the field. And, you know, hopefully Robinson gets his 10 targets a game and can turn those into, you know, 8 catches for 93 yards or whatever it is. And we can see a happy Allen Robinson from week to week, but this 2-game stretch is not happening. I thought about that for the cold Bear, but I want to have a conversation with you about Sam Mustipher.
Oh,
now my expectations for Sam Mustipher are much lower than the average Bear fan. I didn't see much of him on tape last year that made me think, oh, I feel really good about this. If you listen to Bears Over Beers over the draft season, EJ and I were really thinking that the Bears were going to target one of the centers in like the third round that were there that are starting on different NFL teams right now. We thought that would be a good way for the Bears to spend some draft capital because they needed to add that to the room, particularly after you got Justin Fields. It made even more sense, to make sure that you bring in a guy with a little bit more talent. Then Mustipher, we heard a lot of good offseason reports about Mustipher, and that's great. You know, this guy's trying to make it. Let's give him plenty more time. But I think we need to start looking at him a little bit closer and seem to be a little bit more worried because he has done nothing of valuable substance in my mind in the first 2 games. And I'm pretty worried that this is going to unravel, you know, the offensive line. And boy, I mean, how many penalties were some sort of miscommunication between him and Fields yesterday too. This is something I've been worried about, but I'm accelerating my worry level here.
You know, the Bears really believed in him. I mean, they really didn't, you know, they made no moves at center the entire offseason. I think they brought in a undrafted free agent that was played for the Cowboys a bit, and he got some reps in preseason, but, you know, as the backup. And, you know, the way the depth chart lines him now, it's still a guy like Cody Whitehair is the backup center, it looks like, according to the depth chart. James Daniels is there. You know, he was always going to struggle against the big, strong guys. He's just not a powerful center. He can't anchor like that. You know, he was going to have to get by purely on technique. And from what I've seen in 2 games, his technique's not always there because he's getting beat too quick. Maybe he's thinking too much. Maybe he's worrying too much about making things the pass pro set for his quarterbacks. I'm not sure what's going on here because he should be playing a little better than this. But like you said, I'm to the point where I'm thinking now maybe when the guy like Borum comes back or Jenkins comes back, maybe they make a move and they kick Ifedi in the right guard and do something at center with Daniels or Whitehair. Because if Mustipher can't stop the quick penetration, that messes up an entire passing game.
we have talked about this offline. We haven't had a podcast together very long. And I, you know, my playing career, you know, is not exactly storied or very long, but I did have snaps at all five offensive line positions. And I was so much more comfortable at like guard. That was just where I was. You know, I had the strength. I understood the close area-ness of it all. Center, I just struggled with the quick guys. The big guys didn't bother me, but the quick guys, they really bothered me. But I just never felt natural. And that's what I saw out of Cody Whitehair. He just didn't look like a natural center to me. He looked like a guy that felt so much more comfortable playing guard. That's why I've been pushing him to guard so much. And so I hate the idea necessarily of bringing him back. Even though you might get like an average level of play out of it, it just seems like you're going to take Whitehair out of what he's best at. So if we're going to do this again, and maybe the coaching staff just isn't there, but I would rather shift Daniels over because he does have a more natural background at center. I know they don't think that went well the first time around or the second time around, but
he was 21 years old that year. I think
he's so young.
Yeah.
So. And you know, again, Kirk Ferentz said this is the best center prospect he's ever seen, which honestly does carry weight to me still. And so I would still like to see if he can do it. But yes, I agree with you. If they get a viable player back that can take one of the tackle spots and kick in a Fetty or can just move into guard, I mean, I'd be willing to do that. But I think that you have to start having conversations about Mustafer maybe not being a guy that you can count on throughout this year.
Let's hope that next week we're not talking about Cody Whitehair because he's not had the best of starts either.
And neither is James Daniels. Neither I didn't want to let go with the whole interior. The tackles have actually unbelievably looked like fine, and the interior has looked really bad. But I think of that group, Mustafer just sticks out to me as being really bad. And if you solidify that, then maybe your guards you know, come together. So there, a lot of that is the interplay between the five positions. So I'm picking him out, and maybe that's not fair, but I know that he also doesn't have the pedigree of the other two guys. And I have at least seen flashes from those other two guys, right? I mean, I've seen consistent solid play from Cody Whitehair for a long time. This is, you know, this is unfortunate of what's happening with him, but I've at least seen that in the past. I haven't seen a long stretch of really solid play from Sam Mustafer, and he doesn't have the pedigree. So I am calling him out, but that's why. What about the guy that's just, that's what you want to see, the just right in the middle.
For me, I'm going to go with one of the Bears' best players, and that's Khalil Mack. You know, I think he had a nice game, just had two tackles, one tackle for loss. He had the sack, you know, but he is his solid self against the run. But one thing I think doesn't get talked about enough with Khalil Mack is how smart he is when the Bears are running games up front with twists and stuff. He helped create some of the pressure on that line because he knows how to go into double teams to make sure that they concentrate on him at all times. I mean, he's really smart with what he does as a football player, as far as when he gets run on the edge. And then of course, in the twists, he just is a complete package. And of course, you know, as Bears fans, all we care about are sacks. You know, that's the sexy stat. You know, I want to see sacks, you know, kill the quarterback. And a guy like Khalil Mack, he got to the quarterback. So to me, that's a perfect game for him. You know, do his job, get to the quarterback. Khalil Mack was just right this week.
Yeah, like in basketball or in soccer or whatever, you have assists, right? You make a good pass, the guy makes the shot, you get an assist. Mack deserved an assist on that Quinn sack.
Yes.
Because he did exactly what you're supposed, like what you're talking about. And he almost got half a sack credit. Like it was this close for them to split that sack.
You know, but there's someone out there, I can't remember who it is, that they actually track sacks created.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe Brandon Thorne, maybe. It might be him, one of his analytics.
Yeah,
but there's someone, they do it. And I look at that, I'm like, man, that's a cool stat to watch.
He also Brandon Thorne has a newsletter. So if you're, you know, type him in and get in there, you can learn about offensive line.
I subscribe. Good stuff.
And he talks about quality of sacks as well. And so these are the guys that they won the one-on-one matchup and got to the quarterback, or was it a sack where the quarterback just like ran into him? Like he, you know, stepped up and just, you know, basically sacked himself, or like the old number 10 play where he'd roll out and instead of getting rid of the ball, he just step out of bounds and the closest defender gets credit for a sack. Don't want to get Lesser wound up on those plays. But
how about you, Jeff? For you, you're just right guy this week. Who's that?
My guy's Darnell Mooney. Nice. So wide receiver two, he had 6 catches on 8 targets for 66 yards. Solid guy, right? That's what you want out of your wide receiver two.
Now, did you say 6 catches on 8 targets for 66 yards so you didn't have to put those 3 numbers together? Or is that just worked out that way?
Well, that's just how I. That's how I. Because
that's how I wrote
my notes. Say
okay. Like for me, like on my snaps and stats article, I wrote it like that purposely because I don't want to have those 3 numbers together. It's like bad juju. So like you know, kind of strange, but that's all good.
I think it makes more sense to go catches out of targets.
There you go.
You know, targets, catches, but I do flip back and forth. So yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that until now of what you're talking about.
But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I like Mooney a lot. I mean, we all like Mooney, you know, we all want Mooney to be great. And I think that what the Bears, you know, a lot of Bears fans are thinking, well, Mooney will just step in and be wide receiver one. And it's like, Mooney's a really good wide receiver two. Let's keep him as a really good wide receiver two. He's not necessarily a guy I see as wide receiver one, but if he's averaging that level of that number of targets, you know, he's converting those into, you know, a pretty healthy share of catches and able to get some yardage. I mean, he's going to break these two. Like he's, you know, now that Fields is in play, he's going to have some deep balls. He's going to break some more. And so he's going to have some bigger numbers from time to time, but this is a steady game from your wide receiver two. He looked the part and this is exactly the level of performance that I expect from Darnell Mooney.
I am ready to see the Bears' speed matter.
Right.
You know, through the first 2 weeks, it hasn't mattered. I mean, there's been a few guys there on film, but, you know, the passes weren't always going there. But I want to see Mooney and Bird and Goodwin. I want to see these guys that have, you know, 4.4, 4.3 speed actually, you know, make a difference in a game.
And, you know, coming, this is a review show, not a preview show, but, you know, make sure you're tuning into Bears Over Beers this week, because I'm sure we'll get into it. But
nice.
The Browns secondary is great. Like they are deep and they have a ton of talent. And so this is a great opportunity for Justin Fields to get some experience at the professional level and with these wide receivers to see what they can do against one of the better secondaries in the league. So I'm really excited from a football nerd standpoint to see what these guys look like against quality competition, because that's exactly what they're going to face in Cleveland. So that's exciting. Tune in for that, you know, as we'll dive into those kinds of details on Bears Over Beers. But that's the three Bears. That's what we got. What about final thoughts about this game? It's a win. A win is a win is a win. Maybe not the prettiest of wins, but who cares? You don't get style points in the NFL.
Yeah. It's one thing we kind of talked about a little bit with quarterback Justin Fields. He wasn't the best of game from him, but I think that it's a good starting point. And I think with Andy Dalton, I think it came out today, he has a bone bruise. You know, everyone thinks, you know, it's going to be at least a few weeks. So, you know, the next few weeks for Bears fans are going to be pretty exciting, you know, in Cleveland and then at home against the Lions. And I think someone has tickets for that game.
Correct. I am taking my best friend and fellow Bears fan to the Lions game. So as a wedding gift,
nice.
I'm taking it to, you know, so I guess the gift for his future wife is that she doesn't have to deal with him for the weekend. I don't know. but we're going to go to the game and very excited about Justin Fields' first home start. We'll bill it as that.
Maybe.
Well, come on.
Dalton's the QB1. Matt Nagy had a release today. You know, he made sure he told everyone.
All right. So let's talk about that in a second. But like what I see from Fields is that, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to play the game like, well, a couple drops and then that happens.
Yeah.
And okay, you don't have, I'm not going to do that. Like he looked good. Like, I mean, like he had a rookie mistake. That happens. And Bears fans get used to it. Like he's going to learn and he's going to have those times where he's going to make a dumb throw. Hopefully not a lot of them. And hopefully he doesn't make the mistake more than once, or, you know, he gets it out of his system. But the creation, the ability to make a guy miss, you know, in the backfield and take off and gain 7-10 yards. You know, he salted that game away on that third down where he was able to escape a sack and scramble for a first down. I mean, that's rare ability. There's only a few guys in the league that can do that. And he's a guy that can deliver his ball placement's excellent. Like, I mean, his ball placement was right there. So this is a guy that, to me, like, I'm not worried about those stats at all. Like, it was fine. He wasn't great. I mean, I can't say like he's the next guy, you know, the next coming of Mahomes or whatever. Like, but he looked fine to me. Like, he looked like a talented rookie that has a lot to figure out, but has a lot of juice in the tank. And so I'm happy with that. Let's talk about the Nagy thing. Like, Bears fans, you're never going to get anything out of Matt Nagy. It just stop. Like, stop thinking.
No coaches give anything.
No.
They're all quiet to a point. Don't. You know?
You might get some fun stuff out of Dan Campbell because he's weird and he likes biting kneecaps and whatever up in Detroit. You might get some fun stuff out of Bruce Arians. Maybe. Like, his press conferences aren't as entertaining as, like, his book is or whatever. So, you know, these guys, they don't want to be there. A lot of them think that the media is their enemy. Some of them are really smart in how they deal with the media. And then there are people like Matt Nagy. I'll just leave it at that. I don't think that he deals with the media very well. But as a fan, don't believe anything he says. He's never going to tell you anything of substance. It is just, it's not of value. So, stop freaking out about what he says. Just watch the games and get excited for your team because your guy's now in. He has the opportunity to take this starting job and run with it and never hand it back.
Yeah, I think part of it from a fan's perspective, I know for me, like what took me a little while to get over is because he is so likable. Like,
right.
Like when he's up there. So you're thinking, man, this guy is so nice. You know, he's really, you know, then he's lying to me. That's why I think Bears fans say, you know, it's like, how dare you? You know, it's like he's so full of it. But then you watch other press conference in the league and it's like, they're all full of it. You know, no one at his job or the GM job, like Ryan Pace, they don't tell the truth. That's just what it is they think it's an advantage to them to hold things back. You know, that's just how it's going to be. And it's not just NFL. It's all coaches. It's baseball, basketball. I mean, that's how they all are. They're just all kind of, you know, they just want to do their own thing. You know, if they didn't ever have to talk to media, they never would. You know, there are a few guys that want to do it because, you know, they're angling for that post-career gig. But most guys are like, look, I don't want to talk to you guys. I'm just here because I'm here so I don't get fined, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't worry about what Matt Nagy says. Definitely don't worry about what Ryan Pace says. Do not get sucked in by that beautiful hair. That is just not a guy to listen to either. So just ignore him. Like, it's better if you just ignore him. And I think we're talking about this because Bears Twitter just melts every time those guys.
Oh, that's safety. It's so freaked out. Yeah.
It's like, guys, just stop. Stop worrying about it. So, all right. Well, we're going to get out of here, but just plug in some stuff from the site. So, you know, I've got 10 thoughts coming out on Tuesday. So you're listening to this. Also go read that. I've got a stats article coming out this week. I'm going to be talking about toxic differential and actually kind of a spin on toxic differential, which is takeaways and turnovers and, you know, explosive plays. And I'm trying to visualize that in an interesting way. Obviously Bears Over Beers will be out later this week. And follow us on Twitter. I'm at GridironBorn and Lester is at Lester A. Wiltfong Jr.
Wiltfong Jr.
Wiltfong Jr.
That's it. Simple.
And sorry. Yeah. I just went with your whole name.
It's not good.
That's
just for the, for all the professional purposes, I used the full name, but otherwise it's just chill, you know.
Now Lester and I have faces for radio, but we are posting these on YouTube. And so if you would prefer to consume your content on video, we're there as well. So check that out. There'll be a link in the article. And if you just want to head right over to the Bears Over Beers YouTube channel, subscribe. All of these will be uploaded to the Bears Over Beers channel, as will the Bears Over Beers podcast as well. So check us out there. Lester, what do you got coming out this week?
There's always something going on. Like my official column, I got sack watch coming out Wednesday morning. You know, it's funny because Justin Fields has been sacked like 11% of the time, you know, so all fans assume, hey, he's mobile. He doesn't get sacked. You know, the mobile guys usually get sacked more for whatever reason. It's just how kind of it works out. But, then of course I have T Formation Conversation. My podcast will be on, Friday night, Saturday morning ish. But then there's other stuff. I mean, I can't even, you know, keep up with all the stuff I do on the site.
No, there's the weekly columns, and then there's like the 38 articles that you're just like, hey, I had some time, so I threw up this article about blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, all right. So make sure you're checking out the site and all that. But thanks for joining us for episode 2 of Bear and Balance. Very exciting to be coming to you every week. And victory Monday is so much nicer than a loss. So, thanks for sticking with us and bear down.